to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. I'm Aaron Flores.
And I'm Leah Benson, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer.
Covering
the way.
Interrupting you. Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, delivering, camping, and biking, and most importantly, getting your nails did.
Getting your nails did.
Most important.
And I say this with a little bit of shame, because I said the last time we recorded, 2 weeks ago, that I was going to go to Nails Y'all.
Nails Y'all.
Nails Y'all. They had a little pop-up thing event over at your show. Oh, hey, Leah Benson is our co-host today.
I'm Leah Benson.
Leah Benson from Gladys Bikes. I was going to go over to your shop. That was July 1st. Nails Y'all did a thing, and then I ended up not going.
It's okay. I got all the nail loving for you.
Yeah. Yes, you got a pizza and a donut.
I did. I got a pizza and a donut. So I was sharing earlier, it was a great and mildly embarrassing experience because I hadn't thought about what I was going to do. And Nails Y'all lady, Megan, was just like, just, you know, go with the first two things that come to mind, which were donuts and pizza, you know, so... That's who I am, guys. That's who I am. Me at my most core.
I still often recall the $5 pizza deal that you...
Five.
Yes.
Five medium one-topping pizzas for $5 each.
I want to say...
Or no, three.
I wanted to say fell victim to, but I wouldn't say you were much of a victim of...
No. I got to eat three
you
medium one-topping pizzas all by myself, all in one night. It's not a bad thing,
That's
listeners.
A great night.
It's one of my favorite Leah Benson stories, if not my favorite. Also with us, Daniel Harkins.
Hey, how's it going?
Daniel with the amazing radio voice.
Yeah. If you say so, I'm gonna roll with it.
Does it like make you instantly self-conscious when someone compliments your voice?
I guess, man. I never really put much thought into it, but like some people, like I always think Brock has like the radio voice.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like I never thought of myself as having a radio voice, but maybe I do.
I think you might have something going there.
Awesome.
and you, sir, are here, well, amongst many things, but as a bike delivery man, spending your summers. Well, more than that, like how long have you been doing this now?
Well, so like I kind of got started early last summer, but I wasn't doing it full time because I was also doing landscaping. And then I spent some time on the firefighting path in Eastern Washington during the wildfires and whatnot. So this winter I kind of like ran out of money to live off of. So I kind of revisited it and, the food delivery, demand is going up in Portland. It's kind of, it's growing with the sharing economy, no matter, you know, if you're for or against it or whatever. It's there's a lot of like third party apps out there now that connect like people with restaurants. And so essentially I'm doing independent contractor work, delivering, you know, food on my bicycle, and it's been pretty steady, and now it's my primary source of income. So
right on.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we'll get to more on that.
Awesome.
I was just wondering. I'm like, can we delve in right now?
There's always that like that thing when you're interviewing is like, so do you jump into the interview right away? And like, I feel like we just did. And of course now I like killed all the momentum, right?
It's cool.
We can revisit it.
Yeah.
Or do you like stick with the format, which is like, you know, like, kind of bullshit, and then the interview, and then like, you know, a little bit more bullshit, and then, you know, the headlines and whatnot. But I guess since I killed all of our momentum.
Nah, I think we're still going strong.
Oh, okay.
I think we'll be good. We can get back to the bullshit.
We're bike riders.
Okay.
We
screw this. I'm not worried
about the three of us conversing.
Right. I was going to say, we kind of started recording the show, I mean, before recording the show, we had a bit of a conversation going already.
Oh, yeah. There's so much that you can delve into with bathroom books.
And more on that.
But first.
Let's just talk about independent contracting for a minute. And so it's your main source or your only source of income at this point.
Well, I still I have a small income from the National Guard because I do part time as a reservist. But yeah, so it's how I'm paying the bills right now, paying my rent and everything else. You know, living in Portland isn't exactly super cheap. So there's definitely a lot of pros and cons to that type of work. One of the main advantages that I like is the flexibility. I pretty much set my own schedule. I work when I want to, and I, you know, if I don't want to work, I can easily not work, and it's just, I just won't make money. But on the flip side, I'm not getting like any kind of benefits. I also have to withhold my own taxes because I basically am a 1099 employee, you know, as far as tax purposes go. So not having any kind of like actual real ties to a company and not being considered an actual employee is kind of sketchy at times and weird, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Sure. So that part, the whole like withholding my own taxes, I think would be the sort of death knell for me. So I guess like, what is your strategy or do you have one at this point?
Well, I've been like reading a lot of other people's advice on like Reddit and other internet forums and stuff. Mm-hmm. A big thing that I've done is I keep track of like any type of spending that I do that could be business related for like write-off purposes. So any kind of bike repairs, you know, new tires, brakes, whatever. Gear, like if I need a new pair of rain pants or new bike shorts or something like that, you know, just save the receipt and that's going to be a write-off. So, you know, I didn't really do it enough last year to worry about the tax liability and like save. I haven't been saving as much as I should have, but I'm hoping by the last half of the year, it's not going to be too bad.
You'll be able to make up the difference.
Yeah. I mean, and even if I have to pay some in taxes, like if I didn't save enough, it won't take me, you know, too long to pay it back off. I'm not making like tons of money here, right? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So
it's not like a month's worth of paycheck,
right? Like, yeah, maybe like a week or two, something I could like easily get creative with, and yeah, hopefully have that saved. Okay. Anyway, so
I imagine you might have some insight on the whole like tax.
Oh yeah, thing. I was gonna say, I would get a little bit more creative with your write-offs.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean. In
this
Canada,
is tax talk with this Sprocket podcast.
Tax talk. Just for instance, you probably need socks sometimes, you know, which is a crucial component of riding a bike. And you need clothes, all of those things beyond bike shorts even. Maybe you grab a cup of coffee. Maybe it's on your route. Maybe. How are they to know?
Right. I think food and other expenses can't be written off for that type of employment. But in Canada, that's what I was going to say. One bike messenger was able to justify like all food purchases, like showing like he had that like caloric need to
what a socialist nightmare.
I know, right? Jeez.
I don't know if this is real or not. I have a friend who does similar work doing delivery by bike. And one of the things that you can write off with taxes is a home office. And she was advised by her tax preparer that she could write off, essentially the garage space that she uses for her bike and tools as home office space because it was dedicated to maintaining her work.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense to
right?
me.
I thought that was really interesting. If not accurate, really creative accounting on her.
Yeah. You just have to figure out like what the square footage would be and then kind of, I guess, claim like the deduction for how much of that would be out of your rent. Yeah. But I read that today, actually. Some other people suggested
Oh, really?
That. So I live in a one bedroom apartment, so maybe I can count the living room, because that's where I put my stand up and do my repairs and whatnot. So, and I store all of my equipment and everything.
And that's the main part of where you spend your time, you know. So that could be the bulk of your rent. Let's say like 2/3 of your time,
right,
is spent in the living room, you know. Anyways,
so I have an important question. What percentage of the deliveries are for food from Taco Bell?
Oh, the company. All right, so there's a, there's a couple of different companies out there that are offering this on demand, and I'm not gonna endorse any of them. But the one that I'm currently working for the most, I'm not delivering from.
So you work with a few companies.
I'm kind of pretty much loyal to one, but yeah.
You have the option to. Yeah. Anyways. Okay.
Sometimes, you know, there's different advantages at different times and whatnot. But sure. Anyway, not a lot of the orders are for like franchises. A lot of them are local, Portland establishments. I refuse to go to like any place like Taco Bell or anything like that. Anyway, I feel like it's kind of beneath me, but
I asked, cause this friend that I was talking about, I was doing similar stuff, and she was saying like, there were like known hot spots to hang out around. Like she knew she would make money if she was like standing next door to Pine State Biscuits or something at any given time, because there were going to be calls, but was shocked by the sheer amount of people, especially late into the evenings, that would be ordering like $50 things from Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the apps are kind of like, you can choose wherever you want, and they just send someone with a prepaid card to like pick up the food. But the company that I work with, they actually partner with the restaurant. And so the restaurant has like a tablet dedicated to orders for that company, and they receive them, and it's all prepaid. So I just go in and like pick up the order when it's dispatched to me, which is what I definitely prefer. And it's like, I see the same people every day at the restaurants, and I kind of have like that kind of professional relationship with them. Whereas like, I'm not just some random person like interrupting this restaurant's like flow. So yeah, there's also that side of it. A lot of restaurants don't appreciate some of the third party apps that don't involve them in the process. And then they actually boycott them and won't work with them.
Wait, so what's the problem with the third party app? Like why?
Okay. So I don't know if I should throw the name under the bus of the service or not.
Do it.
I mean, it's totally up to you. We're really beholden to nobody.
Well, here. And also I think that you would be doing a service to the people listening, because we should be educated consumers.
Okay. Well, you can do your own research, but I will say that Postmates is one of the most infamous with local establishments, because Postmates, essentially you can order from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they just send the person, like I said, with a prepaid card. And a lot of restaurants don't like that because they don't tip, because you can't tip on the card. And it also, like, it kind of, if it's a really busy place that's really trendy, like Screen Door or something like that, it kind of, if it's like a Friday night, you know, and they're jam packed, like it's going to mess up their flow, getting a lot of orders from people who just don't want to go out to get it themselves. And
well, and like, especially Screen Door, part of their draw is the experience of dining in.
Right.
You know, and having to do a carry out. I'm a little surprised that they do carry out, in all honesty.
Yeah. But some restaurants, you know, like I think Postmates is trying to like adjust their strategy and partner with more restaurants, because they've gotten like just completely shut down from a lot of places. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. It's not exactly a great business model if you want to like keep growing and like have people use your service. But at the same time, people are willing to pay for that, and they don't really know what goes on the other side of it. But yeah, so I prefer to work for the companies that partner with the restaurants, and all the restaurants actually have a say in it, you know.
That sounds much more responsible and respectful.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not always like a great experience every time either. There's you know, there's always room for improvement with any type of, you know, service.
Sure. And you also talked a little bit about the mileage that you've done. You and I were talking about that earlier. You want to kind of mention more about that, or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's funny because, like, most people just assume that, like, you're probably going to be just kind of isolated, like, really close in, like, in the inner core of, like, downtown or just across the bridge. But every day, I average about 6 hours a day when I work, sometimes a little bit more, but it depends on, like, if it's slow, then I'll probably work more hours to make up. But my average is about 50 miles a day.
Wow.
And I only have like a few mile commute into where I start working, because I live in Selwood. So I either go like downtown or like close in southeast to like start accepting orders, because that's where most of the hot spots are. But yeah, I get sent all over the place, sometimes like up above OHSU or like in the Southwest Hills.
Oh man, those are a nightmare.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks. Like, I ride fixed gear for delivering, and it's sometimes not the most practical when I have to do that. But other times, I like it in traffic, just being able to like kind of regulate my speed. But yeah, anyway, that's a whole nother
there's
thing.
There's a sort of a group of drivers that really love driving in the Southwest. Like, as far as the bus drivers that I that
oh, okay.
I'm with. And then there's the rest of us
who
have sense.
Yeah, Southwest is crazy.
It's, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just all these narrow turns, and it's on such a steep grade. And, man, some of these houses are literally, like, in the side of these hills. And you miss your turn and you have to like go all the way back up the hill, find a place to turn around and come down. Yeah. Anyways, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. But the climbing, it definitely, it's fun though. Like, every day is a little bit different, you know. It's like I've always kind of wanted to work on a bike, and there's not like a huge like traditional messenger demand or scene here, and like so like food delivery is kind of like where bike work is going, and it's growing in like all the major cities too, and Portland is becoming, you know, a bigger city every day, and so like with more density, sometimes people want the option of more convenience, and bikes just kind of make sense, you know.
Sure.
To get the job done. So
well, and it seems to me like the traditional courier messenger, like, that's kind of fading out just because there's a lot less and less need for like documents.
Right. Yeah. Everything's digital these days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Maybe in bigger cities, it's still a thing, but it seems to be less and less.
Surprisingly though, like, there's a lot of, with any kind of culture or counterculture, there's a lot of like different hierarchy, and traditional messengers don't consider like food delivery, especially for like apps and stuff, like legit like bike messenger
right. Work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if there's a rivalry.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, it's not really here because I don't personally know any messengers, but like in other cities like New York and Chicago and stuff, apparently. But there's also a lot more like traditional companies starting to jump in and try to do like the food delivery role too. I think part of the problem is there's just such a turnover with like the sharing economy, and like people just don't really know what they're doing, and they're not like professional. So it like, you know, gives the whole, I don't know, scene a bad name, I guess. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, you go ahead.
What does the process look like to get into doing it? Is there some type of interview process, or you just sign up?
You pretty much, like, if they need bodies, they'll post on Craigslist, and some companies are always just getting as many people as they can get. Other companies try to keep it more tight-knit. But, yeah, there's not a real interview process. It's like a background check and a few questions, and you know, pretty much, like, if you don't screw up too bad, I guess they won't terminate you, because I'm still doing it, so, you know, I don't know.
I know, I'm just thinking about, like, what if someone signs up that doesn't necessarily have the biking skills that one would need to talk about or to do the type of things that you're talking about doing, like riding up into the West Hills?
Well, I mean, I guess, like, you can always, like, reject orders or, like, call and get them reassigned or whatever. But, like, you know, what it comes down to it is, like, you can either just take the easy ones and you're probably not going to make any money, or you can just, like, some days you have to suck it up and do a lot of crap you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's all I've got to say. Okay. I don't know.
Do you have any, I don't want to say horror stories, but like any real interesting stories from the road?
Oh yeah, man. Like every day I definitely have like, interesting experiences, interactions with drivers and customers. And like, one day I helped a guy like mount like a flat screen TV to his wall.
Really?
I think he ordered...
like you went there to deliver food and he's like, hey, while you're here, can
yeah,
you... really?
it was really awkward at first. Like, cause he was like, hey, I've got a question to ask you. He's like, do you think you could help me with something? And I was like, oh man, where is this going?
So many possibilities.
Yeah. So he like, I was like, okay. And he, you know, explained he didn't have a way to mount his TV, just got a new TV or something, and he like opened the door and showed me, and it looked legit. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not, you know. Hopefully I don't die.
Right.
Hopefully you got a good tip.
That brings up an interesting thought though, like the idea of buying a giant TV and not realizing, like, oh yeah, I've got to put this somewhere, and I can't
just live alone.
Right. I can't just like, you know, hang it like a picture.
That's kind of sad, man. Like, maybe he didn't have any friends, you know, like to come help him.
Or maybe he just really needed it done right then, so that he could watch the new season of Orange is the New Black.
And he's probably hungry too, you know. I'm pretty sure he might have been consuming marijuana prior to the whole encounter. So
really hungry.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, for $5 delivery fee and maybe a few buck tip. Got your TV mounted and you're full.
There you go.
Have either of you ever used one of the delivery apps personally?
No. I have not.
Yeah, me neither.
There was one point where I was going to get a... This is so sad.
Tell it.
I was really hungry for some ice cream. And Anna... I don't even remember what the circumstances was, but Anna really wanted to do this for me. Oh, and it was like during those days where it was really snowy. And so she's like, uh-huh. What is there a way to get like this delivered to us? And I'm like, no, let's not try it. And it turns out there was, I don't know which company, but was one of the bike delivery companies was still delivering during this time. And so she's like, well, let's see how much a pint of ice cream will be. And it was like $12.
Oh,
so
nice.
No.
You have a really sweet partner for even looking into it.
I'll pass that along.
Yeah.
Or she'll find out herself.
Hey, Anna, you're sweet. Yeah, I was trying to think about the other day when it would make sense to use such a service.
Not for a pint of ice cream.
No, but like... I'm going to be honest here. I feel like that's what I would end up using. Because it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm hungry for dinner. I'm going to order it from Screen Door. It would be like, it's 2 a.m. and I wonder who has cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a total impulse thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I really need, or not necessarily need, but I really am hankering for fill in the blank, you know, and maybe it's something that isn't, you know, generally delivered, like, you know, say a pizza.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. What was the weirdest thing that you had to deliver, or the weirdest order that you had to fill?
Oh, man. Well, there's definitely, for when I worked on one of the apps where you could pretty much order anything, I delivered a box of Whippets from an adult bookstore. Yeah. And like apparently there's like a group on the internet for like this particular delivery service, and apparently it's like a repeat customer. I don't even know if I should be saying this because it feels like it's kind of a legal gray area, because it's like
Whippet delivery.
Yeah, I mean
I felt
it like, it is illegal to like say operate a vehicle while high on whippets,
right? But it's like one, it's still kind of a controlled substance. Yeah. You have to show an ID to purchase it, but it's not controlled like alcohol or marijuana per se, you right. know. So it's
like salvia.
But yeah, like when I got the order, I was
remember
like,
remember when that was a big thing? By the way,
I choose not to.
Miley Cyrus.
We'll leave it at that.
That's interesting. So,
and it turns out like this is a repeat customer. Like yeah. you went to the place mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, this is for
not even
Joey
that.
Jojo.
Like I knew about this customer when I got the order because like I had seen it posted on the forum before. Mm-hmm. Like people always talk about like weird orders, or like sometimes like people get like celebrity orders, you know, or cool interesting things like that, so like people share that kind of stuff. But yeah, I already knew about the Whippet customer like when I got it. I was like, well, that's shit hilarious. I guess I'm one of the lucky people that now gets to do this. So
Was the interaction what you expected?
I mean, it was kind of normal, kind of weird.
Okay.
Did you have to install a TV there too?
No, not at all. But like the people already knew at the bookstore when I came in.
Right.
Just based on the way I looked, they're like, oh, you look like a bike messenger, dude. You must be after this. I was like, oh, right on. Cool.
Well, you know what? Bless that man for providing an experience for you and the bookstore.
That's true.
You know, giving you both stories to run on.
Well, I wouldn't use any gender-specific pronouns here, but...
bless that person.
That person. Yeah. Bless them.
I'm not going to implicate them further.
Yeah.
Right on.
Could be... It's just a person, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna reveal a little bit of ignorance on my part. I always thought whippets were, like, something you did in middle school.
I don't know. I'm not hip on that.
I'm super not hip. But anyways, yeah, I didn't know like adults still did those things.
I didn't know it was a thing that was around still, even until 3 years ago. I was living at a house and we went out to take out the garbage and discovered that it was overflowing and that someone had used our garbage, which was in the alley behind our house, and filled it with like, I don't even know how many dozens or hundreds of spent whippets. And a chicken carcass.
That is creepy.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, so in my mind, whippets are freaky.
Now, let's clarify here. Yeah, exactly. Whippets lead to, like, chicken slaughter. Like, this is like, not a chicken that was bought from, like, not a rotisserie
chicken.
No,
this is not, yeah. Okay. This is, like, a chicken.
This, okay. Wow, yeah. That's creepy as hell. So,
we went to a dark place, guys.
We did.
Yeah. What's been the most delicious thing you've ever
there
delivered?
You go.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, what was like one thing you delivered and you're like, I don't know if this is going to make it to the
Yeah,
to the
I
person.
Want this.
Oh, man. So every once in a while I get like really large catering, like office orders. And one day I had to go to... one of the Mediterranean food carts, and they just had like 5 or 6 pans of like lamb and falafel and it's those big catering pans, and that like I change up what I take with me every day because I have a front rack with like a really large duffel bag.
And the bike that you brought here, that is that the one that you
yeah.
do normally? Okay.
Yeah, and I have a bag that mounts onto the front that's a pretty large size. And then I have a big backpack that holds a lot. But some days I just go light if I think it's going to be slower and I don't take the backpack and just try to like make everything work with the front rack. And I got that huge order. It like it was bad because those tins are kind of like flimsy.
They're
know?
Just like foil.
Some of them are, yeah, some of them are really good and some of them are just like really bad. They yeah. use really bad ones. It like tzatziki sauce got all over the inside of my bag. But
oh.
like nothing really like completely exploded, but the tins got all smashed because it was stacked high like in front of me. I had my narrow handlebars. I switched handlebars too. Like, and if you got like a lot of weight in the front, you know, you kind of want a little bit more leverage. So
sure.
it's just... It was like swaying all over the place. I was just trying to hurry up and get rid of it, you know, for move on with my day. But yeah, that was a difficult one. But usually, like I don't know. I get pretty creative and have cargo space for what I need.
Was that like the biggest delivery you've done?
No, I've done some really, really big ones. I've carried like 4 very large, Indian food orders from Namaste and, Lloyd before.
Oh, they got a thing in Lloyd?
Yeah.
Oh, I've always known them as like 82nd and Sandy.
Yeah, in my opinion, the one in the Lloyd district isn't as good, but I mean, it's still like cheap.
It's still them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're still Indian wonderful, food. But yeah. their original place is not known for the ambiance,
right?
But the place in Lloyd is
nice.
Well, I was gonna say the opposite.
Really?
Like I think compared
to the one on Sandy, though, like it's a lot nicer. It's still not like, I don't know. I'll let
yeah,
you.
I think part of the draw of the one on Sandy is that it's not nice. Like we live in a city where restaurants all seem to look a very specific way, where it's obvious that, you know, this atmosphere is being created. Whereas the one on Sandy, it's like, it was probably some other restaurant. They're like, whatever, this works. We have an Indian restaurant in here now. Yeah. Whereas the one on Lloyd just looks a little bit too sterile for my taste, I think.
Yeah. I guess like I was thinking,
it's funny, like, it's as you're talking about that, like, I'm thinking of, like, the whole line of restaurants just across the alley over there.
Oh, yeah, and don't get me wrong, they're delicious. But sometimes you want a little scuzz,
yeah.
It's not just sometimes for me. Like, I can't afford anything other than the scuzz, really.
Yeah. Oh, life. Just reflecting on the fact that I'm yeah, that's also pretty true.
You know what we haven't done is we haven't talked about what we're drinking here.
Oh, and right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I would be remiss if I didn't plug for the beer mongers on Southeast Division and 12th who provided us with these lovely beverages, which have been in our fridge for a couple weeks because I didn't make the run this week. I'm curious because I think the refrigerator may or may not have like got shut off. And so I'm curious, like, how you guys may have experienced your drinks.
I'm an easy customer. I think it's delicious.
All right.
Yeah, I'll pretty much drink beer as long as it's not completely warm. And this was fine, so.
Yeah, what are you guys drinking?
You go ahead first.
Okay, so I've got the Airways Pre-Flight Pilsner. And Airways Brewery, I guess, or Brewing Company, I should say. It's out of Kent, Washington. I've never heard of them before. And this is pretty crisp and refreshing. It's nice.
Not too warm.
Not too warm.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really self-conscious about that.
It's good. It's good. It feels cold in my hand right now. I have more of a mystery ale.
That's right. Yeah. I was like, this is, I don't know what it is.
Block 15 Brewing Company. It's delicious. I know that much. It's called Sticky Hands. And all it says about it, it is the hop experience ale, which I'd be willing to argue is a lot of beers, a bit of a hop experience. Yeah.
That's sort of integral to
that's kind of beer. Yeah. But it's really good. I'd say it's somewhere between an IPA and an ale. It's out of Corvallis, which makes me like it. I'm like, it's localish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Beer.
This is actually, if I could kind of shill for the beer mongers a little bit This is what I love about the beer mongers is that someone like me who doesn't know jack about beer and someone, you know, goes, hey, get me a red. Their beers are all organized by type as opposed to brand.
Mm.
And so you have a can like what you got in your hand. I don't know what that is. But if I were to actually have been the person to go and grab these from the beer mongers, it would show up in the whatever section. And I go, oh, this is a pale ale or whatever.
And also, I think they're good because they know how to make good recommendations. Because unfortunately, I shop for beers as, I don't know, some people stereotypically do for books, and that so much of it depends on the label. And the branding for this one is a touch too close to Monster Energy drink for me. And so I would have skipped over it, but it's delicious.
And no, I totally this agree. This goes back to our discussion about bathroom books and how marketing changes.
I was wondering,
how is he going to bring this back? how marketing changes a perception, or how important marketing is.
It is.
Because this could have otherwise been an ale that would have taken off.
Exactly. Or maybe it has, and I'm just not hip with the times.
It's probably big in, like, the motorcycle track racing crowd or something, you know? Whereas mine is, like, kind of sophisticated.
Yours is classy.
Yeah, very classy.
Mm-hmm. It's the kind of can that someone might open and then pour into a glass.
The label is actually a sticker. I just realized.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's cool.
Interesting. Sorry, no, I just want to go back to bathroom books.
Well, we could do some headlines and mail.
Let's do it.
All right.
Is there a song for that?
There is. I'm getting there.
I know, I was just taking up space.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight.
Do you want to
pedal
take some of these?
I'd love to.
Okay.
Just tell me what to do.
You want
to
start with the calendar?
I'd love to start with the calendar. All right. Lots of things coming up this month. On July 16th, there's the Brompton Urban Challenge.
Yes. Hosted by Clever Cycles.
Does it lead from Clever Cycles?
I think, well, yes. That's where you go to meet.
Yeah.
I am on a team with Anna's mom. Not with Anna, because it's hosted by Clever Cycles, and that would be a conflict of interest. Although, yeah. Well, anyways. Yeah. I found out, I don't think this is revealing too much information, especially since I'm a contestant, but I found out that Michael Anderson wrote the manifest, or the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
it's going to be good. He's the
kind
of nerd that only good things come from.
So it's going to be interesting because it's myself, a guy I met with from Bikes for Humanity,
mm-hmm.
and then two people from Oklahoma on our team. So
explain the two people from Oklahoma.
Anna's mom is visiting from Oklahoma.
Okay.
Along with Anna's aunt.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Moving on to the next event.
Yes.
Oh, a competing event. Perhaps earlier in the day, also on July 16th
yes.
at 7 a.m.
Oh.
It actually doesn't say what it is.
It doesn't say what it is.
There's an event at 7 a.m. on July 16th.
Mystery event.
That is hosted by Livable Streets Action, an affiliate of Bike Loud PDX. And Aaron is filling in what this is as we speak. It is, wait for it, Bike Loud PDX Salem Ride.
I just titled it right now. I don't know what they're officially calling it.
They're riding to Salem.
They are.
That was my guess. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Leaving from 7 a.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
That actually sounds really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my public apology to Gerald Fittipaldi. I told him that I would be doing that and realized it is on the same day as the Brompton Urban Challenge, which I had already previously committed to.
We'll be there in spirit.
Yes. Yes. But hosted by Livable Streets Action. So it's a ride to Salem. It's kind of an homage to sometime in the 70s. Shoot, this was just told to me and now I forgot it, but sometime in the 70s, 100 bicyclists came from Portland,
mm-hmm.
rode down to Salem as a massive protest and to also show, like, hey, bikes are a viable thing. And it resulted in the bike bill being passed, which is, you know, these sets of laws that make bicycles a vehicle along the lines of an automobile. And with the same sort of legal protections as an automobile.
That's really neat.
Yeah. So they're going down there. And unfortunately, I don't have the specific information of what they are proposing. But this was told to me in conjunction when I participated on the Bike Loud PDX New Orleans Jazz Funeral. Which,
Yeah,
did you hear about this,
Dan? No.
So it was kind of part of Pedalpalooza, sort of. So Pedalpalooza didn't really end until July 4th. You know, they had the Pedalpalooza Awards. So, yeah, this happened Friday. And they did like a memorial of just all the street deaths in the past few years. And we had a big coffin. Someone carried a coffin with all of the stats painted on it. And somebody brought a big amplifier, and we had like all this like New Orleans style, like dirgy jazz going on. And we walked from the city hall all the way to ODOT's headquarters, walking in the street, mm-hmm. You know, alongside of our bikes. And then at ODOT, we left the coffin there, bungeed it to their flagpole, and you know, and that was, oh no, it, I'm sorry, it was a Sunday.
It was a Saturday, actually.
Okay, so let's split the difference. Thank you.
No, it's okay. Anyways, yeah.
Anyways, so we left that there, and then we also like wrote all these messages in chalk on the sidewalk to ODOT. And so this is when they were also like sort of promoting their Salem ride.
So I happened upon that ride. I'm surprised I didn't see you because it wasn't a huge number of people.
I kind of skipped the riding portion.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
I had a gig, bike parking for the Blues Festival.
I ran into it on my way to a wedding, which was a really funny coincidence, running into a funeral ride.
Yeah.
It was really powerful, but everyone was dressed in black and I was wearing hot pink, which
kind of stood out.
Yeah. No, but I've been wondering what it was. I saw it go past. Oh, and so okay. Thanks for enlightening me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to events, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
okay.
was pretty long-winded.
August 11th, Pam Nichols is having an art show at Western Bike Works in Tigard at 6 p.m.
Yes.
What do you know about Pam's artwork?
Pam's artwork, this is specifically one that is inspired by Joe Kermaski.
Cool.
And so this is a show of art that she did specifically inspired by some of his stories that he told. And when he was last on the show, he mentioned this to us. And we were so interested by it that we wanted to post this on the calendar. It's up in Tigard. I don't know if I can make it, but
some
Lord knows
will.
I'll try. Yeah. And we're going to, I want to promote it for those who would like to see it.
Awesome. And then finally, on August 14th.
Bike Scout
scavenger hunt. Yes. I understand that both of you have participated in this before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the past 2 years.
As a team?
Yes.
Yes.
Team Sincerity.
Who else has been on your team?
Brock and Adele and our friend Jeff Everett.
Yes.
Oh, Brandon Shelby also.
Shelby is part of Team Sincerity.
Yeah, he was on it last year, right? Yep. Yeah.
Yep. How have you guys been? Have you been competitive?
You know, every year we're like, this is the year we're going to do it. we never quite make it.
I think we do pretty well, but we just fall short of making, I don't know. We're not like super hardcore, but we're a little competitive. We're in the middle.
It's funny. It's every year. Well, every year since the first year, I'm like, okay, I'm doing this for fun. I'm not going to get competitive.
It's hard not to.
Man, isn't it?
It's hard.
You get like all the like energy of everything going on. Yeah, it's
well,
really difficult.
You remember once you get there that it's a competition. Like,
yes.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
The prizes are badass.
Yeah.
And you just want to win because you want to be a badass. I mean,
yeah. No, I don't care about the prizes. Honestly, yeah. I just want the bragging rights.
I hear you though. Every year I do at least like 2 cyclocross races, and each time before going in, I'm like, I don't really care about like, you know, doing well at these. I'm just going to go out there and have a good time. And then, of course, just go like balls to the wall. And I'm like, I will kill you. But I don't know. It's nice to know other people hope for non-competition.
Yeah.
Unsuccessfully.
This could be like sort of a metaphor for all of society.
Yeah.
I'm not going to compete for goods and services.
Mm-hmm. Down with capitalism.
Some news from Cascade Bicycle Club via John and Golden Gale. Sound Transit Board of Directors approves updated Sound Transit 3 plan for November ballot. And Sound Transit is the transit company around the Puget Sound. And I don't know, this has already been long-winded, so maybe I won't read the whole blurb. Other than Sound Transit 3 makes a high priority of providing safe and convenient ways for people to bike and walk to transit, including unprecedented investments in pedestrian and bicycle facilities throughout the 116-mile light rail system.
So, and scene.
Yeah. It includes lockable bike storage, I believe, is one of the things that they were talking about. So you can ride to a light rail station as part of their transit system and just lock it up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then use the transit. So, you know, say your commute is really nice for the first part, but you'd rather not do the, you know, the last part of it, and it's on a light rail, there's a good solution for you.
But what about the light rail accommodations when you want to bring your bike? That's always a bigger issue to me. I feel like it's
being able to bring it.
It's never as convenient as it should be.
Over here, it gets pretty apparent, like how I don't want to say lackluster, but just how little bike amenities there are on the MAX or on the light rail, or even the bus, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I avoid it like the plague, but every once in a while, like you just,
oh,
you
if
have
it's
to
nasty
take the MAX
out or
something,
you're just tired.
It's a pain.
Yeah. Yeah. When my mom was visiting a couple years back and I had her biking around with me, and there was one time, you know, it was kind of late, and so we were going to take the bus, and the whole time I'm like, I really hope when this bus arrives there isn't another bike on here, because I don't know. I guess we'll just wait another, yeah, like, you know, 30-40 minutes, because it was late at night, however long it takes for another number nine.
Could be up to
through
an hour sometimes.
Yeah, depending on the line. Yeah, and I was like, you know, trying to like think of convoluted plans. Okay, I'll put your bike on, you get on, and then just tell the driver you want to get off at this street and wait for me and I'll meet you. And, you know, it was just, yeah. But yeah, it just goes to show, like, you know, there's room for improvement over here. Yeah. You want to hit the next one?
The Car to Go?
Yes.
I got this. Some news from Car to Go. About the Portland Airport.
Yes.
Car to Go parking is available at AirPark, located next to the Portland International Airport, which is a good way to avoid cabs or begging for rides from friends.
Yes.
Favorite pastime. In addition to your trip cost, it's just $5 for any trips to and from the park, which is cool. Departures, if you want to pick it up. To access it, drive up to the AirPark gate, get a ticket, and then the attendant will take you to the spaces. For arrivals, go to the courtesy shuttle and call AirPark to request a shuttle. Let's see. So basically, it just takes you to the lot.
Yeah.
Sounds super convenient either way.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that I've always used Car to Go for, was to get to the airport. And then, well, the first time I ever tried Car to Go was I took it well, I knew, like, you couldn't park it at the airport, so I took it to, like, Cascade Station and mm-hmm. tried to park it somewhere around there. And I, like, went to, like, various places in Cascade and couldn't get there. And I ended up, like, backtracking all the way back to Gateway from the airport. Luckily, I didn't miss my flight. But I thought, like, you know, what a great use for Car to Go. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't. You know, and I'm sure there's, like, bureaucratic red tape or whatever.
Yeah, especially around airports. I feel like it's hard to get anything done.
Yeah. So this is great. The $5 extra, like, I don't know. Do either of you use Car to Go?
I don't.
No.
Okay. So it's good. It's convenient. You're paying for the convenience, though. And it can get costly pretty quickly if you don't, like, if you're not on top of it. And that extra $5 to get to, like, park it at the airport, like, I don't know. Like, it kind of twists the knife sometimes.
That's still cheaper than, like, the daily rate to park a regular privately owned car, I would imagine, though.
There you go.
So, like,
yeah,
a one-time nominal $5 fee, even for, like, a potential car owner to not drive their own car and, like, park it there and pay, like, $50 for, like, a week trip or something, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, especially if how many flights leave during times when there isn't a way to get to it by transit.
Right.
Lots.
Yep. Well.
Mail.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
All right.
Which means.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
That's probably my least favorite sound bumper. But then sometimes it becomes my favorite sound bumper.
I really like it.
I have this kind of love-hate relationship with it. First up, new donor, Jeremy Kitchen. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy. He also just followed Gladys Bikes on Twitter.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I recognize that name. Thanks for so many things, Jeremy.
Thank
Jeremy.
You. Thanks for the money, Jeremy.
Thanks for the money.
Oh,
Jeremy.
New nickname.
We just lost our first
J-Money.
We lost our newest donor.
Sorry.
Read the next one.
Yes, from PBJ Matt. I'm very impressed with Will's rain barrel system. I myself have two 50-gallon containers, much like the ones he is giving away. And while I usually have enough water in my garden and small trees and plants, the drier stretches have found with the lack of rain recently that I am running close to empty. May have to consider an upgrade.
That's right. So last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Will's upgrade from the 50 gallon to, I want to say, like 300 gallon watered. Yeah. Water, rain barrels. And this is an instance. This is funny. This is an instance where the people in the comments section of the Sprocket podcast begin to talk to each other. So Johnny K replies, in Florida, we have to be careful with rain barrels due to mosquitoes. Cause it's like really humid down there.
Mm.
Breeding ground. So like, you know, you have the surface water and mosquitoes just
gravitate. Just go for it.
Yep. Gravitate towards
Florida.
It. Yeah. Florida. Well, anything else you want to add, Mr. Harkins?
No.
All right. I guess should
I think we're done then.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel good about this. Okay. Pleasure, guys.
We had a lot of bathroom book talk.
Bathroom book talk. You guys will hear about it another time.
Yeah. Another day.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and find my own copy of the bathroom book.
The Great American Bathroom Book.
The Great American Bathroom Book. I bet Donald Trump endorses that.
Probably. There are multiple volumes. In fact, it's red, white, and blue on the cover, so he probably is behind it.
This is hilarious.
It has good words.
Tweet me for more info.
All right. You up for reading the credits?
I'm ready.
Okay. You got the bold.
All right. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Oh, go ahead. Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Bruner,
Dave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Match,
Patrick R. James, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe.
This is just cruel. Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder. That one is easy. Thank
Anna
you.
Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, Shelly and Troy, King of Division,
Josh Zissin, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby, Campsite,
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin,
Nathan Fulton, Chris Rawson, Rory Kloss,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen.
Now brush your teeth
and go to bed.